Hi, I'm Yiling. I'm a history of design student in Royal College of Art and V&A Museum. Today, I'm interviewing my classmate, Mark, to talk about our MA group work, Beyond Stats, and also our reflection as future design historians on this topic. First, I will let Mark introduce himself.
Hello, I'm Mark, studying history of design at the RCA. It's a joint course with the V&A Museum.
Mark, can you tell me what's the reason why you want to join this MA group? What interests you particularly about stats?
Yeah, it's just the point of statistics as a thing, but the tagline was beneath the stats. So it's kind of what, you know, how statistics can be used in one way, but the same statistics can be used in another way. Mm. That was kind of like the interesting thing. Obviously not knowing what the group was going to be like or about. But it seemed quite interesting to have something hidden that you could be looking beneath the statistics.
Mm.
And the thing about statistics that interests me most is that they can and have been used for and against the same issues.
Okay.
So like each side can use their own interpretation of statistics for their own agenda.
Mm.
So for example, the old Brexit thing that's going on at the minute. So I mean, I've got some facts that are taken from the press.
Mm.
So like people claim that Britain as a whole voted to leave the EU, and they forget that 54% voted leave. 46 voted remain, so it was a pretty close run thing. A big part of the debate is about sovereignty, and a report from the Leave side claimed that 64% of the UK law was EU influenced, while the Remain position claimed only 13% of UK laws that have made a big made to implement EU obligations. The Leave survey of small businesses claimed they were 50-50 in favour of leaving. And the Remain position claimed that poll after poll showed that small businesses believe the UK is better off staying in.
Mm.
So it's using the same sets of data and using them to promote your own position. And the whole Brexit thing ties in with the theme of screwing, because the government seemed to be screwing the British the British people.
Mm.
So that kind of like, ties in.
Yeah.
That.
Okay. The next question is, since we are in art design school, so is there any object or design artwork interest you about the statistics things?
Yes, Ice Watch at the Tate Modern in December by the artist Olafur Eliasson and a geologist, Minik Rosing, which consisted of 24 blocks of ice fished out of the Norwegian fjord. To highlight the impact of global warming.
Mm.
So the idea was that the artist hoped the public would understand the reality of climate change by actually experiencing the ice blocks. So they weighed like 1 to 1.5 tonnes each. So statistics about climate change are a way to inform people of its effects, and the exhibition interpretation featured stats such as the Greenland ice sheet loses around 200 to 300 billion tonnes each year. And that rate is expected to increase dramatically. So like statistics such as these have a shock value, especially when large numbers are involved. But it would be interesting to know more about it, such as what's the natural shrinkage of the ice, and has the current loss been experienced before? But that artwork was, really sort of actually just going and seeing big blocks of ice that were in the Arctic did make me think more about the statistics and made me think more about climate change. So that was a good exhibition.
Okay, during our MA group, actually we've seen several exhibitions.
Mm.
So if there's any exhibition impressed you most?
The Genetic Automata exhibition was very good. It was by Larry Achiampong and David Blandy. I think Larry Achiampong is a tutor at the RCA. That was the Arts Catalyst. So we went there on a field trip, on one of the days, and it was an unscheduled stop, but it fitted in perfectly with the themes of the group. So it was a video installation that combined animation, spoken word and text, interspersed with digital renditions of skin, kind of counterpoints Darwin's theory of evolution and slavery. So that kind of like, it fitted in well with the themes of the course, and it addressed issues such as like where is home and what do you call home, which obviously addressed issues of nationality and race, you know, but done in an artistic way. So yeah, it was that was good.
So right now we are studying in history design. So as a student in history design, any idea about how we could work with statistics or data in our own discipline?
Yeah, actually there was a lecture last night concerned with the intersection of design and environment that featured the economic design theorist Dr. Joanna Bonnert, and explored the way which design industry addresses issues such as climate change. So she argued for a more ecologically engaged approach which would take account of current statistical analysis. So I think that statistics could be an important way to frame a design history, particularly with regard to object-based analysis. So placing an object within its economic, cultural and political context would definitely benefit from a statistical approach. Mm. But I also would approach any statistics with caution and look carefully at the sources and agendas of the people who made the statistics.
Yes.
Yeah. But yeah, it definitely could be important for a design history.
Yeah. Okay. So, going forward, will you consider work on topics related to stats in your own work?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, in relation to the last question, I mean, the group has drawn attention to the way stats and data have been used in a design history, and also the issues that need to be addressed. Mm. So, I would certainly use any data that was pertinent to my work and look at any statistics in a way that could illustrate the history of a designed object. I think it could be an important way to frame a design history. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you, Mark.
Okay.
Okay, that's Yiling's interview with Mark today. Thank you for listening. Bye.